Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib newsletter, worldwide podcasting broadcast system. I'll get that right eventually. And I am here in spirit with JJ Sefton, my partner and friend. I'm about 4,500 miles away from him, but that's okay. We are going to have a short one today if we can. I'm sure we can't because we can't stop talking. Anyway, Sefton, how you doing?
Doing well. Latest, without getting into too many details, latest medical update, doing well and continued progress. So thank you all for all your over the last year. Amazing. What a long, strange trip it's been. All your good wishes and prayers. They have really done the trick. So God bless you all. Doing well.
So the Yiddishism for this is cancer schmancer, I be gesund. What that means is cancer schmancer, as long as you're healthy.
Absolutely.
So yeah. People who speak Yiddish are very strange. Anyway, so
Well,
we've
we
had a, we've had an entertaining several days. The first thing on the agenda obviously is going to be that that the Ukraine ceasefire, this 30-day ceasefire that that Trump or the State Department or Trump and the State Department have pushed and has been accepted, I guess, tentatively by the Ukrainians, and now we're waiting for. Or Russia's comment. From my perspective, there's no reason for Russia to accept this ceasefire absent some pressure about which we know nothing. And that pressure is obviously going to come from the United States and from Donald Trump. So why people don't recognize that is beyond me. I think because they're blinded by the by this idiocy that that Donald Trump is Vladimir Putin's puppet, and he is acting at the behest of Vladimir Putin. Let's break that one down for about 30 seconds, shall we? And I'll make fun of it first, Sefton, and then you can poke more holes
you
in it.
bet.
Russia is a small country in comparison to the United States. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, and Russia became a strong regional power. Absent their nuclear weapons, they would be a non-entity. Financially, they're nothing. Geopolitically, they are something only because of those nuclear weapons. It's clear that their military is a shadow of what it used to be, and it wasn't very much under the Soviets, because they can barely take Ukraine. And by the way, I'm going to extend that just a little bit. And the idiocy, and boy, there's a lot of idiocy around this topic. The idiocy of Russia pivoting from Ukraine into Poland and then into Germany, into France, and crossing the channel in a year and a half is unbelievable. It is so ridiculous. We have seen for the last 2 years that Russia can't handle Ukraine. So the idea that they're going to handle Poland, which is a professional army, I've spoken with friends who served with Polish officers and saw firsthand the quality of the Polish army. They say, nope, that's not going to happen. So anyway, Sefton, what do you have to say about this?
Indeed, it is. It is just. I mean, again, it's basically just trying to, slime Donald Trump again as Russiagate, as Russia somehow influenced the 2016 elections and prevented Hillary Clinton from her glorious victory. All this kind of garbage, which is funny. If
Hillary
anyone,
who?
you talk about colluding with Russia, didn't I believe Hillary Clinton engineered the Uranium One deal, which gave away 20% of America's uranium supply to the Russians. So, I mean, who's Putin's puppet? Please, somebody
Yeah.
please inform me. But yes, there's no way that Russia is going to roll all the way to the English Channel. That is just insanity to believe. And yes, they are a regional power. They do have nuclear weapons and intercontinental missiles, by the way, and medium range missiles as well. So the idea of like itching to get into, I mean, I'm not saying, and I wouldn't know that Russia would push a button, but you never know. I mean, stupid things happen when stupid people do stupid things, and somebody with an itchy trigger finger might pull something stupid like launch perhaps a nuke on Kiev or whatever. And it's just we're playing with fire here, and it's just madness. And so hopefully cooler heads will prevail. Obviously, Ukraine is going to have to give up some of its territory in order to secure peace, which, for whatever you think about Vladimir Putin and his initial invasion of the Ukraine, this is it is the situation on the ground, and that is just the way it is. And unless we want more bloodshed and a wider war and somebody to make a really critical, stupid, blundering error, it has to end and it has to stop, and it's better for everybody.
I
So.
agree. I agree. It's unfortunate that Ukraine has lost territory, but that's a messy part of the world, and that stuff happens all the time. And absent a very, very powerful reason for the United States getting involved militarily, I think
There
we
is
just
none.
accept, yes, of course, we accept the fact that Russia is the big boy in that neighborhood. And okay, so
And
Russia's a bully.
you know, just a little bit of historical context, Ukraine at one point or another has, for the most part, always been a part of Russia, whether it was a territory of Tsarist Russia or part of the Soviet Union. It's only for very short periods of times was it ever really an independent nation. So, you know, what led to the current situation? There's a lot of blame to go around, but in any event,
And a lot of
yeah,
that
no.
blame sits in the United States.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
Anyway, so let's
moving
move on
on.
to another interesting and linked topic, and that is that Steve Witkoff, who is the special envoy for the Trump administration, confirmed a couple of days ago that Zelensky apologized to President Trump. He sent him a letter, which I thought was very interesting. He apologized, quote, he apologized for that whole incident that happened in the Oval Office. There is nothing quite like seeing a foreign leader bend the knee to an American president. It has happened so rarely, and I think it's an extraordinary achievement, and I think it's vastly, vastly overdue, and I hope that we see more of it. The United States is the most powerful country in the world. We have led the free world for several generations. We have done more for the free world and for freedom than any other country on earth. And the idea that we are just one of 180 or 196, however many countries there are in the world, that we're just one of them, we have one vote, is offensive in the extreme to me. We have done too much. We have lost too many men. We have spent too much of our treasure on the rest of the world for us not to be recognized as the leader of that world.
Right. I don't think that anybody should, you know, kiss our any president's ring, so to speak. But the obsequious behavior and what you're talking about of being one of a hundred, however many countries with nothing special about us is a Barack Obama-ism. He coined that, and that was that really just got me like crazy. But again, yes, countries should recognize the fact that we have done more to spread the cause of freedom and to help other countries, you know, in the world, in our own blood and treasure. And yes, you don't have to kiss our, but then again, we don't have to bend the knee to be obsequious to other leaders for whether it's the Emperor of Japan or whether it's some Muslim somewhere or whatever it is. It's ridiculous. But a little bit of appreciation would indeed go a long way. So.
Well, this is where you and I differ. I think that they should bend the knee. I think they should kiss the ring. We've
Okay.
done too much,
Well, I
and
mean,
that needs to
it's
be
a definition of
recognized.
that term. I mean, appreciation, just open appreciation for what
No,
we've done and
no.
recognition.
How about
There
kissing
you
our
go.
asses? How about,
All right. Well, in
yeah,
Macy's window. Yes.
I want to see these guys bend down and kiss Trump's ass,
All right.
because
Very good. I'll
we
take
have
it.
been on the opposite side of that for far, far too long.
Okay.
Anyway,
Sounds good to me.
so I saw something else in the news that I thought was very, very interesting. The Trump administration cut funding to some main universities, probably just the public universities, because the governor defied the rational and almost universally approved of order to ban trans athletes from women's sports. And I think that they are a little bit surprised, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Apparently, I think the USDA, Department of Agriculture, paused funding to the University of Maine system. Now, why the U.S. Department of Agriculture is involved in that, I have absolutely no idea, folks. If you can explain it to me, I'm all ears. But the reality is that the Trump administration has taken a shot at Maine for their refusal to comply with an executive order. And I think it's very, very important. I think probably most Mainers support the idea that we need to keep men out of women's sports. But apparently the governor of Maine doesn't. So.
Right. I mean, probably the USDA, among many other departments in the government, funds specific programs, whether it's agricultural research, and other departments will do perhaps scientific research in other fields and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, too bad that they have to suffer. But look, if you're going to do this kind of foolishness and go against not only the president, but the will of your own citizenry, I mean, then again, what do you expect from a state that has had people in the past, such as, Angus King, Susan Collins, and Olympia Snowe. I mean, you elect these rhinos and crackpots and so on and so forth. I mean, I hate to say it, you get what you vote for. So put some normal people in office, and maybe stuff like this won't happen.
It's fine
It
with
won't
me.
have to happen.
If Maine
Absolutely.
wants to keep it, you're absolutely right. If Maine wants to keep electing these people, then suffer the
Exactly.
consequences. It's fine with me.
Absolutely. And on the similar vein, where Trump, God bless him, cutting funding for universities like Columbia that sponsor terrorist rallies and anti-Semitic nonsense on campus. Good for him. God bless him. And he's actually deporting a Hamas sympathizer, if not someone who may be directly linked with Hamas, who fomented a lot of the demonstrations and the protests, Colombia and elsewhere. And everyone is going crazy that Trump can't do that, and he's being Hitler and a Nazi and so on and so forth.
That was a nice segue.
Okay.
So what JJ Sefton is talking about is Mahmoud Khalil, who was admitted to Columbia University, I think, in 2022, and he came and immediately became a sort of a firebrand for Jew hate and pro-Palestinian protests. And of course, after October 7th of 2023, that went into overdrive, and he was one of the leaders of the obviously, blatantly, overtly pro-Hamas organization. He distributed pro-Hamas flyers with the Hamas logo on it. He organized protests that disrupted Jews or stopped Jews from going to class, and this is clearly something that the, he's a guest of this country, and it's clearly something that the administration and the State Department has every interest in. And so, as Marco Rubio said, the government reserves the right to revoke his green card. And I think it's an appropriate response. They arrested him. He's being detained someplace in Louisiana, as far as I know. And I hope they toss him out, and I hope his bitch wife follows him there.
Ditto.
I
And
think this is an obvious slam dunk for the administration. I think that most of America will support it, and I think they need to do more of it.
it reminds me of a few things. I mean, we talk about, and it intersects. There's intersectionality for you, my friends, with immigration policy in general and the whole, deportation program of illegal aliens. And let us look back, not that long ago, well, maybe it is 24, 25 years, when we had the hijackers here in this country, from 9/11, who were here, I believe, on student visas, who overstayed their visa, and nobody was looking for them, and they were waiting it out. And then the next thing you know, the Twin Towers were, and part of the Pentagon was a smoking ruin. And then, of course, you got to ask the questions about our favorite America's sweetheart, Ilhan, the brother, you know what, oh, Brofo Omar, who lied about her marital status to come here and get her citizenship on false pretenses. And of course, George Soros, being an admitted and proud Nazi collaborator during World War II, he still gets to be here as a citizen. And
Yeah,
how is that
let's
even
deport him to
possible?
Hungary where they'll hang him.
They will hang him. Oh, yeah, a couple of places I think want to have the death penalty on him.
I think
So,
Malaysia
yes,
too.
it
So.
does. Donald Trump said a few interesting things, which we can debate. He said, if you are, anti-Semitic, if you are fomenting violence or terrorism or anti-Americanism, then you should be deported. And I'm saying, well, I mean, it's like Potter Smith. I know pornography, or when I see it, but who's to describe what is anti-American, and who gets to decide what that is? And It raises some interesting First Amendment questions, but you are right, CBD.
Well,
This is not a First Amendment issue at
yeah,
all.
exactly. Thank you for pointing that out. It is absolutely not a First Amendment issue. And I'm reading from a Fox News article. Section 237 of the Immigration and Nationality Act, Section 237A4C, an alien whose presence or activities in the United States, the Secretary of State has reasonable ground to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the United States, can be deported. They can throw them out of the country.
Goodbye.
So
Here is your
yeah.
first class ticket on Pinochet Airlines, and enjoy your in-flight meal of cyanide.
Yeah, I have no problem with this. And by the way, one of the things that frustrates me about the Trump administration is this idea that they're going to make anti-Semitism illegal. Listen, I'm a proud Jew. I will fight for Jews and Judaism in Israel. I will for my whole life. But the idea that we can make anti-Semitism illegal is silly. It shouldn't be illegal. That's called free speech. And I wish that Donald Trump had not gone that far in making anti-Semitism illegal. Now, I don't think he can make it illegal. His executive orders are worded interestingly, and they will absolutely go to the courts. And I think that they will rule that you cannot make anti-Semitism illegal. What you can do is make violent anti-Semitism illegal, which it is already. And what you can do is throw people out like Mahmoud Khalil, who are fomenting violence and supporting a worldview that is antithetical to American exceptionalism and American freedom and what our Constitution protects.
Well,
So.
in the words of some of my former classmates from Brooklyn many years ago, would say, "Let me ax you this." Going back to our wonderful podcast last week with the great Robert Spencer,
Man, he
and he
was
points
great,
out
wasn't he?
what a great podcast that was. I mean, the Quran and Islam itself preaches the very things that are violent, that preaches death to infidels, death to Jews, and so on and so forth. So, by extension, if you're going to make anti-Semitism illegal, you are sort of outlawing Islam.
That's a very good point.
I mean, I'd like to see that one argued in the Supreme Court, or I mean, just for the sake of bringing the argument and bringing the points out in the open. But for practical purposes, yeah, you can't necessarily outlaw Islam, sorry to say, whatever our feelings are. But dang, what an interesting argument, what an interesting forum it would be to have these issues finally brought out in the open. Because every time someone like a Robert Spencer or a Pamela Geller states, literally reads from the Quran itself, that Jews are the descendants of pigs and apes, and Allah, point where the oh tree, show me a rock, show me where the Jew is hiding behind you, so I may slit his throat. And every time they read passages from the Quran, they're labeled as Islamophobic and need to be banned from entering Great Britain, or need to be silenced, or need to be whatever. So I mean, the rusty hacksaw of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed seems to cut both ways, or at least in this instance, not really.
Well, this leads to an interesting article I just read, written by Stephen Moore. He's a fellow at the Heritage Foundation, which is neither good nor bad. But he's using a phrase in an article that I think is wonderful, soak the rich. And the title of the article, Want to Soak the Rich? Tax University Endowments. I think that is a fantastic idea. I think that the hook of soaking the rich will resonate with many, many Americans. As most people know, there are dozens of universities that have multi-billion dollar tax-free endowments that are used almost as a slush fund by these universities. I know that Harvard was pushing $60 billion in their endowment the last time I checked. Columbia has about $15 billion. That's a huge amount of money. And the idea that in addition to their $15 billion endowments, they're getting $5 billion from the United States government is offensive in the extreme. And I think most Americans would be offended by that. It's just beautiful. Want to soak the rich. And of course, people look at these rich universities and they see snooty wasps, in three-piece suits wandering around the quads, bringing their kids in as the fourth generation to go to Harvard or Columbia or Yale. And that offends most Americans who have a tough time paying for their kids' college education.
And
So,
then, of course,
absolutely.
and then, of course, you have Claudine Gay, the incompetent diversity hire at Harvard. And I'm going, so what's that all about? So much cognitive dissonance and so little time.
It's lovely. Soak the rich. This is brilliant.
Exactly.
I just think it's fantastic. Anyway,
Absolutely.
I don't know if you noticed this, but we spent 2 years listening to every Democrat in the United States claim that egg prices really aren't that high. That's really not that big a deal, that inflation is coming down, blah, 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 blah. Well, I write a food thread for Ace of Spades, and I pay attention to things like that. And egg prices are obscene. And they are in part caused by the Biden administration's fixation on killing chicken flocks to prevent the spread of avian flu. Now, whether that works, I think, is an open question. I don't think it has worked, mostly because avian flu is passed from flock to flock by wild birds, not by the domestic animals that don't fly from flock to flock, obviously. Anyway, so for that reason, and probably some others, egg prices skyrocketed under Biden's administration. And they are now down below what they were with Joe Biden. So that squawking, ooh, that was good. That squawking from the Democrats about, oh, the egg prices haven't come down, Trump lied. Well, bullshit. Sorry, folks. Egg prices are now lower than they were when he assumed office.
Anecdotally, here in southern Wisconsin, not maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, they were, a dozen, large eggs were like about $8 a dozen, and now they are down below six. So there it is coming down. They may have been even more than that of several weeks ago, but they are definitely coming down. They're definitely below. They're at a level where they were several months ago before the whole avian flu kerfluffle and whatnot. But it is interesting. We're talking about the spread of avian flu. Meanwhile, you have Haitian illegal aliens roasting wild park geese, and they're all dropping out of the skies like left, right, and center as they come back from their migratory hiatus.
Or
And then, of course, the
illegal immigrants bringing measles into Texas.
Measles. Exactly. I mean, give
Yeah.
me, I mean, this is great. Yeah, they wonder where is this measles outbreak coming from? Yeah, let's not point to the third world where there is, yeah, let's blame RFK Jr. for because he's anti-vax, but yeah, or what supposedly or whatever. But meanwhile, this is happening at the border and nobody, and oh, to bring it up is to be xenophobic and racist. But anyway.
Well, I guess I'm xenophobic and racist.
There you go.
It's interesting. Those slurs have lost all power. Call me racist.
Completely.
Okay, I don't care. Call me a xenophobe. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean
They
that's,
just don't mean
and
anything
again,
anymore. Call
right,
me a
it's this is
fascist.
all, and
Okay. Call me a Nazi. I'll
it's
punch you in
funny.
the nose, but
Yeah, I mean it's there is no again, yeah, these words are meaningless. It's all they have are these just slurs and insults to fling at people, and there's no it, they do they have lost meaning, and I think people see this. And we've discussed this many times over the last several podcasts, and especially since up to and the election and afterwards, does it have an effect? And I think it's kind of petering out. It really doesn't have an effect as as people's lives, the current economic situation fluctuating as it is, notwithstanding, people's lives will improve over the next several years. And it's not that the Democrats are now having this identity crisis, so much, which I don't know. I mean, what are we going to, how are we going to appeal to these voters that we lost? Well, you could stop being Democrats. That's how you could stop pimping the policies that you've pimped for the last 200 years. But that is a non-starter because a leopard will not change its spots.
Well, the thing is that they don't understand because they are so insular that the majority of the American people want a secure border, and the majority of the American people want reasonably priced fuel oil and gasoline and natural gas. And the majority of the American people want many of the things that Donald Trump ran on, and he is in the process of giving them those things.
Yep.
And that's a very, very difficult thing to fight. And that's why you hear about, oh, he's enriching billionaires. The idiocy of Elon Musk doing this, running Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, to get rich is, somebody says that and you think, wow, you're fucking stupid, aren't you? The man is the richest man in the world. And the idea that he can manipulate government spending to further enrich himself is odd. I'd like an explanation for how that works, because it doesn't work that way.
Well, it kind of does work that way. All you have to do is look at the stock portfolio of, let's say, Nancy Pelosi and every other and many other Democrats, and sadly too many rhinos who pass laws that enrich their stock portfolios, and they get to see what happens, and they get to do insider trading deals with impunity. And they come into Congress, maybe with a worth a couple of $100,000, and they leave Congress worth multi millions of dollars. So where's the so there's your there it is. There's the enrichment, my friends.
Right,
But
it's just on the other side of the aisle.
it's not Elon. It ain't Elon Musk. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So what else is new?
Other than that, I think I also read that the government of Ontario has cried uncle, and there because of Trump's trade war with Canada. So the tariffs that he imposed, they were going to cut off electricity or tar put tariffs on electricity from Canada into America, and they've decided that they're not going to do that anymore. So boom, there goes that. So good on whatever Trump is doing. I mean, we can discuss tariffs, we can discuss trade policy, but the idea is to have a fair playing field so that jobs and real manufacturing can come back to the United States. And from there are several reports that I see that real jobs are coming back. And of course, the media reports that because of cutting government jobs, it's bad for the economy, which is ridiculous. But it's it and I think I forgot who it was. A major chip manufacturer has opened a plant, is opening a plant. I think Toyota or one of the car makers are leaving China and opening up a manufacturing plant once again back in the United States. So bring our jobs back, reshore or onshore our jobs once again, and all this nonsense of foreigners doing the jobs Americans won't do. Well, let me tell you something. When you make things, you do certain things, and you make American labor much more desirable by cutting off the flow of illegal aliens and making cheap and literally slave labor a thing of the past. Yeah, Americans are going to do jobs that formerly that illegal aliens did for pennies, before. And hello, American labor movement, you should be on the side of us and not on the side of the Democrat.
Oh, no
But
argument
there you
here.
go.
When you talk about tariffs and Canada, China's a different issue, but the tariffs that Donald Trump is placing on Canada are in many, many cases retaliatory. He is responding to obscenely high tariffs that Canada has placed on American goods. So, for instance, there's I think a 270% tariff on American butter being imported into Canada. Now, I guess our media aren't interested in spreading that viciousness, but that's the reality of it. Canada is not an innocent player in this. They defend their industries with tariffs, and that's their prerogative as a sovereign nation. It doesn't bother me that they're doing that. What bothers me is that they expect us to play along with their tariffs, but then get a but we shouldn't retaliate with our own. Listen, this
Exactly.
is it,
It's
and it's
ridiculous.
yeah. Oh, by the way, the premier of Ontario is a guy named Doug Ford. And speaking of kissing the ring and kissing the ass, quote, "I want to apologize for going back and forth like this to the American people. I spent 20 years of my life in the U.S., in Jer New Jersey and Chicago. I love the Americans." So, what were you saying about not requiring them to kiss the ring and kiss the ass? because he just
Yep,
did
if you're
it.
gonna, yeah, I take that back. Kiss our ass in Macy's window, as my dear sainted mother would say.
There
And
you
they're
go.
right, you know. And you know, from what I understand, you know, tariff before there was an income tax, America raised money on tariffs on import duties on foreign, you know, on foreign goods in order to fund the necessary functions of the federal government, meaning the military and post office and so on and so forth. And we didn't have an income tax. That's how you did it. And that's how other countries did it. Maybe there's something to be said for the old ways.
Yeah. One of the things that frustrates me about the Trump administration and Donald Trump is that there doesn't seem to be, okay, let me back up. It frustrates me and it pleases me. So I'm of two minds here. But there doesn't seem to be a plan. It's chaotic. He's rocketing back and forth from one side to another. Now, what that does is it keeps everybody on their toes. It keeps them rocked back, actually. Sorry, the wrong it was the wrong phrase. But it keeps them rocked back. They don't know what's going to happen next. And that gives him a tremendous advantage. But it is incumbent upon him to calm this down very, very quickly because businesses cannot plan for the future if they don't know what their future
Yes.
costs are going to be. So, somebody building widgets in Ontario. Knee and he's buying American steel or American titanium, whatever it is. He needs to know that the tariff is going to be 25% or 10% or 50%. He cannot plan his business assuming that the price of one of his inputs is going to be rocketing up and down, going all over the place. It's simply not good business. Donald Trump understands that, but I think that he's allowing the geopolitical concerns to overwhelm business planning. And again, I'm confident that he is going to calm this down. And by the way, it'll calm down our own stock market, which is rocketing back and forth, mostly down. But listen, that's the way of the world.
It is. I mean, just if he could just lay out a, you know, just a statement saying this is what I intend to do X, Y, Z, and why I'm doing so and so. And then when shit happens, shit happens. But and you have to sometimes react and do things in an unexpected way, come what may, to the consequences to business. But you're right. I mean, a little bit of consistency, at least vis-a-vis the messaging of what the intention is, certainly will go a long way. But you know, we
But
can't.
listen, I do understand keeping
Yes.
everybody off balance. So, listen,
Good.
I think it's really, really, really important that we feel comfortable to in criticizing Donald Trump and the administration. I think we
Right.
have.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
Listen,
a legitimate criticism, sure.
I didn't want him to be the candidate for a very, very long time, and I was obviously wrong. I blew that call,
Well,
but.
you know, his mere presence has made all the right heads explode.
Isn't it
And
delightful?
it is delightful. And he's following through on what he promised he said he would do. And God bless him for that. And, you know, I think ultimately things are going to get better. And then hopefully, you know, we have 4 years of stability. And then, please Lord,
And then
if
eight
it's JD
years
Vance,
of J.D. Vance.
and
Yeah.
then 8 years of whoever J.D. Vance's pick is, and that's a whole other, who knows? And so let's see. So let's see. That's 8, 16. That's 20 years. That puts me to age 84. So at that
I'll
point,
take it.
I can, as my sainted uncle would say, I can hang up my jock strap and
Yeah.
call it quits, folks. But we'll see what happens.
So it's very interesting. Folks, I'm in Paris for the time being, and I just walked into the local shopping area and bought something for the house. And I spoke with the owner of this little shop. And he asked me where I was from because apparently I do not speak fluent French that is accentless. Gee, what a surprise. And I said, the United States, I told him where in the United States. And he sort of rolled his eyes and said, oh, Trump. And I listen, I'm not going to get into it with a shopkeeper in Parc Monceau, but I said, it's sort of unfair because the American media, American television really hates him. And so you hear only from them. Give him a chance. And he said, "Oh, but energy prices." And I said, "Well, he's already talked to NATO. I'm sorry, to OPEC, and they're working on increasing production, and he's releasing American energy production, so the fuel is coming down already." And he looked, and I think he was mostly shocked that I responded, but it was very interesting. For no particular reason, I just thought it was interesting. I'm not going to convince the French people that Donald Trump is their savior, even though he could be. Look, I'm not going to back down either. So,
Good.
Christ, I'm
Well, I mean,
yeah,
again,
I just don't want to get into a bar brawl in Paris.
of course. And of course, the alternative, and these are the same people that are all freaking, trying to get into a shooting war with Putin. And meanwhile, it's Vladimir Putin who has, and Russia that supplies like 90, 80, 90% of the natural gas and oil to Europe. So it's like, hello.
Unbelievable. All right, folks. So
Espace de quelque chose, en français.
we are mostly done here, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for hitting the tip jar. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for reading our stuff on Cutjib newsletter and over at Ace of Spades, where both Sefton and I are co-bloggers. We appreciate it more than you can possibly imagine. Actually, that's sort of a rude phrase. I hope you can imagine how much we appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. Anyway, we'll be back probably next week, and I will chat with you then. Sefton, why don't you close it up?
You bet. You have been listening to Cutjib Newsletter Speaks, the podcast. For CBD, it's JJ Sefton coming to you and bringing you all the news that you need from around the world, across the nation, and up your street. God bless you all for your wonderful support. And we truly mean it from the bottom of our hearts. And we will see you again on the next one.
Thanks for listening, folks.